The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Suppose you could see out as far as the end of your life. How would you prepare for that? What are some of the things you would want to do? Who would you narrow your concerns around, since you will acknowledge the finite remainder of weeks, days, and hours? You would presumably need to pare down your tasks, your desires, from a bucket size to perhaps a quart list, maybe a cup and a half list. If you have time, what would you wish for? Who would you pray for? I ask these questions because I think maybe the gospel writer John had given some thought to questions like these in his consideration of the life and death, the incarnation and death of Jesus. Now in his telling of the story as it's given to us today. Because today we have been given what I feel is one of the sweetest moments in the whole of the Gospel of John. Today John is telling us that as Jesus looks now out to the end of his life, as an important part of his preparations for the end of his life, he's praying for us. For us. Acknowledging the finite remainder of weeks, days, and hours Jesus had before him. Acknowledging the need to pare down his tasks, his desires. Jesus prays for us. We have come to the end of the farewell discourse in John, and Jesus has assured us of another comforter. Now Jesus turned away from us to speak to God. And he is saying to God that he has done all that has been expected of him, except that which remains, except the crucifixion. He is saying to God that his work is coming to its end here on earth, and that now, or soon, within weeks, days, and hours, the people of God will need from God that protection from the world Jesus leaves behind. He will no longer be in the world, my brothers and sisters, but we are in the world. Jesus sees before him the embrace we all may hope for, the loving arms of God. Rest in the Logos, the light. Jesus is calling on God to glorify him in the very presence of the pre-existent one. Jesus has completed the work. And what is that work? Jesus made God's name known to those given to him on earth. And we have learned that everything we have been given by Jesus is from the founder of the universe. We have been loved, my brothers and sisters, and we will continue to be loved. We are called upon to love, and we will continue to be called upon to love, especially in a world where love is misbegotten or lost or buried under a corpus of lies. Jesus is not praying on behalf of that world. According to John, the world around him and the community of believers was every bit as threatening as this one that we are living in right now. Jesus is praying for us right here because we believe that such a one as he could only have been sent by God. Who else could have found the strength to demonstrate to us, to show us what the light of God looks like? Jesus is praying for us because all of us given to him are glorified in him and he in us. The light that shines in darkness, the light that darkness cannot overcome is in us and revealed now through us. And what is that light? And what is that glory? So I journey back to where I've been before. I've told you this before. I simply remind you that the glory of which John and the letter writer Peter and others describes the giving of light, perhaps some kind of an incandescent quality to another. It meant passing a flame that continues to be the same flame it once was, yet burns now in someone or something else. It is the same flame. We take a light from the light, and the light remains. It is the same flame, and we have that flame. It burns now, not in one heart, but in two hearts, in four hearts, 64 hearts, fed by the energy of all. It is the same flame. And the glow of such a flame is evident in the nimbus surrounding the bearer of the flame. That halo that we all know so beautifully represented in classical art and so beautifully present in you. Today, the gospel writer John tells us that Jesus has been glorified by God. The same flame that burns in God is now burning in Jesus, and Jesus, by the authority of his relationship with God, passes that same flame to as many as will receive it. To those who receive it will be granted the comfort of being forever in the presence of God. It's all about passing of faith, you see. I believe that faith is the essence of that flame. It is the same flame. And that flame in you, in me, in others will be visible. Perhaps even more visible when set against the darkness, that darkness around us. But visible. Suppose you could see out as far as the end of your life. How would you prepare for that? What are some of the things you would want to do? Who would you narrow your concerns around? Since you will acknowledge the finite remainder of weeks, days, and hours, you would presumably need to pare down your tasks, your desires, from a bucket size to perhaps a quart list, maybe a cup and a half list. Jesus is fully aware now that he will soon die. He soon will be killed. In this gospel passage, he is clearly asking God to keep the trust with those who have trusted him and to protect them. After his earthly form, his very body will no longer be with them. In the sweetness of this passage, Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is caring for us. Jesus, in this passage of John, clearly sees in the distance the fiery ordeals that we heard about in 1 John and 1 Peter. The persecutors ahead, the persecutions ahead, and all the things that he faces. Here, perhaps, in this gospel is the preparation narrative, setting up God's response, which will be spoken of next week, when at the Pentecost, the tongues of flame appear within the Christian community. And the people are glorified by God for their missions on earth. When we are glorified by God for our missions on earth. Suppose you could see out as far as the end of your life. How would you prepare for that? What are some of the things you would want to do? Who would you narrow your concerns around? Since you will acknowledge the finite remainder of weeks, days, and hours, you would presumably need to pare down your tasks, your desires, from a bucket-sized list to perhaps a quart list, maybe a cup and a half list. My brothers and sisters, may we, in the light of the glory of God, from the sweetness and strength of Jesus, may we each see before us and uniquely our mission. Our mission. Your mission. And let's move it up in the list. Let's move it up. in the list.